Pray with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that today on the Sunday of joy, we might understand as those who have received grace that this gift is only available in a baby boy that was born in a manger. So now, Lord Jesus, may we live in the joy that you, Lord, have given to all of us. Amen. It starts there. How are you doing this morning? How is everybody doing this morning? Well, really doing this morning. Now, here's a different question. Do you know how you could be doing? Do you know how you could be doing? Huh? I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 12. I love the Sunday of joy. You know why? Because we need to get rid of, first of all, some myths. I thought Carrie did it great on the video. Is this: joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. And would you agree with me that you and I live in a world that we are happiness junkies? I mean, we crave that moment to be what? Happy. So I want to redefine the box for a moment. It's not about happiness. And for all you baby boomers, hold on, because I'm contradicting everything you've been hearing since you were born. That your goal in life is to be what? Happy. And if you're not happy, you need to get some happy pills. Because God has made everybody what? Happy. Well, you know, I really did. Man, I gave it a concerted effort. And I pushed the scripture and pushed the scripture. And I pushed the scripture and I pushed the scripture. And Nathan, I was exhausted because I couldn't find anywhere in the scripture where God said he had created me to be happy. And so I had to chalk that up on the board to another thing we made up. How many of you all have been disappointed by all the stuff we make up? We made it up. God didn't say it. We made it up. But let me tell you where I found joy. Not in what we've made up, but in what God has said. Amen. So as we come close to this season that we actually celebrate the birth of what? New life. Isn't that what we're really opening up on Christmas morning? We're celebrating the birth of new life, new possibilities, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection. All of these things become possible in who? Come on, in who?
Jesus.
In who?
Jesus.
So let's talk about what joy is. How many of y'all are joyful people? How many of y'all are joyful people? Well, hold on, watch this. All of you who believe. Now, if you don't believe, I don't expect you to be joyful. You're going to hell. No, literally, you shouldn't be happy about going to hell. Have you ever seen anybody wake up and say, "This is the day I go to hell again"? You've never found any strength in that, have you? How many of y'all have? Watch this. You know what joy is? Joy is the release from the hellishness of sin. Joy is the release from the hellishness of sin. If you've had a friend or experienced this yourself, if you've ever been trapped by some kind of addiction and you finally break it, you know, or the Lord breaks it in, you know what that is? Great joy. Let me tell you what, when you wake up in the morning and you don't have to do it, guess what that produces in your life?
Joy.
Now, you may not be running around with a grin ear to ear, but inside your heart, you're going, "This is the day the Lord has made." You know, if you've been struggling in maybe a marriage or in relationship with your family, and all of a sudden God heals that moment, and you'll wake up the next morning and it's still healed, that's some great what? Or if the doctor said you weren't supposed to be living and you keep on living, that produces what?
Joy.
You see, joy is exactly what Nehemiah discovered in that 8th chapter when he says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. So how many of y'all glad to know that, guess what? You don't go get joy. This is the good news. Y'all beginning to get this direction, aren't you? Joy got you. Joy was born in Bethlehem. Joy was crucified outside Jerusalem, and joy was risen. Now, you got to get this. God always rises. Pretty cool, isn't it? God always what?
Rises.
No matter what, God is going to come through. How many of y'all got that kind of God?
Amen.
Or how many of y'all kind of got a maybe God? A wish God instead of a hope God. A moment of comfort God instead of an eternal peace God. And a God that brings happy moments instead of a God that brings a joyful life. Well, let's look at the Advent. There is hope because God is real. There is peace because God has forgiven. And there is joy because that is the strength that comes from heaven. Jesus, we have indication all through the biblical text, all through the scripture, Jesus lived a joyous life in spite of it being difficult. How many of y'all need to kick in the joy that you've been given in the middle of some difficult situations? Because guess what joy allows you to do? Joy allows you to hang in there when it doesn't look possible. Come on. Joy allows you to what? Hang in there when it doesn't look what? Okay, now watch. Let's look at some things here. So here's what hope does. Hope helps you see a future that nobody else wants to see. Hello? You receive the hope from God. He shows you things that nobody else wants to see. So that's hope, right? I can see, John, I can see what nobody else is willing to see because Jesus is hope. Does that make sense? Here's what peace does. Peace allows me to react beyond the situation. Right? Peace allows me to not just, can I use this term, not just freak out when everybody else is freaking out. It allows me to be calm and collected in the midst of chaos. But here's what joy does. Joy gives me the strength to push through. Joy gives me the strength to what? Push through. Now let's think about Jesus for a minute. Couldn't Jesus see what nobody else could see? When he was here, he could see what nobody else could see. Right? Well, watch this. I'll show you how it works. The angels appear in heaven and the shepherds, what do? That's not the first thing they did, honey. Huh? They shook, they trembled, they had great fear, they freaked out. What is it? It's God. Because now guess what? The shepherds got a glimpse of what only God could see. Angels. And as soon as they appeared, what's the first word they said? First phrase. Fear not. Some of you all dressed up in your bathrobe and you are you put on some cardboard angel wings somewhere in your life. And you were the angel that said, fear not. For I bring you good news of what? Great joy. Now, just stop there. For unto you today a what?
Savior.
Has been what? Born. So, God let them see what only heaven could see. And as soon as they saw what heaven could see, he immediately said, don't be afraid because I'm sending you a good news of great joy, which leads to an incredible love. You see how the Advent was imprinted on the arrival. I mean, y'all glad to know that God's hope stays with you even when you become hopeless. And God's peace doesn't leave you just because you get upset. And God's joy is available. Some of y'all need to write this down. You ready? I mean, get this. Don't skip this. God's joy is there even when I can't feel it. God's joy is there even when I can't what?
Feel it.
The joy of the Lord is my how many of y'all have ever looked at joy as a strength instead of an expression? Let's talk about some things that joy is always with us. Hebrews chapter 12. It begins, that great passage of Scripture says this, therefore. Now chapter 11 spends all chapter 11 talking about this. It talks about the people that have gone before us and they have held in there and they have lived it out to the end. How many of y'all plan on living it out to the end? I'm going to live it out to the end. How many of y'all going to live it out to the end? I know some of y'all wish that I'd just finish, but I don't know when to finish. This is where people freak me out all the time. They go, well, I'm in midlife. I said, how do you know? How do you know when midlife is when you don't know what the finish line is? You might be in midlife at 20. You might be at midlife at 60. I don't know why anybody won't pay that many taxes, 120 years worth, but you don't know where you are on the timeline, do you?
Nope.
Nick, do you know where you are on the timeline? You just know you're slower than you used to be, right? You hurt a little more, but Merle, you don't even know where you are on the timeline. I can help you with this. Older than you were. How many of y'all know when it's going to finish? We don't. Now, hold on. That's God intended. If y'all knew the day you was going to leave, what would you be doing all day long? Come on, think about it. Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. What would you be doing all day long? If God sent you a postcard and said, Jim, you will be leaving the planet such and such date, 2031. What would you be thinking about all the time? 2031. You'd be like my wife when we get ready to go on a trip. She starts packing 4 days out. I said, we're not leaving for 4 days. Yeah, but we need to remember this and remember that. I would be thinking about leaving instead of living. How many of y'all are like that right now? You think about leaving instead of what? Living. You see, joy allows us to live in the moment. And Kevin and Carrie, you're exactly right. Even when we got to say, see you later to those we love, it allows us to live on, even with joy in the midst of pain. Anna, you've gone through that. Even joy in the midst of what? Pain. How many of y'all glad to know I can go on even though it hurts? Is that not a great strength? I can go on even though it what? Hurts. We got to hold that message of strength. And look what it says, therefore, remember this. I'm going to give you some things that ought to bring great joy to you. First of all, we're not alone. So if you don't mind, if you just look at your neighbor next to you and say, we're in this together. Come on, tell them. Oh, y'all did that great. Now give them a second purse, whether you like it or not. Go ahead and tell them that. Give them the truth to it. We in this together, what? Whether you like it or not. Now I have just released my secret to marriage. I look at Elizabeth and I say, we in this together. Whether you like it or not, we're in this what? Together. I've had to tell my kids. They told me more than that. We're in this together, what? Whether we like it or not. Church, we're in this together, whether we like it or not. Now, I just want to give you some heads up. I want you to have a great end of the year, full of joy, full of joy, full of joy. Remember, you're not the first to do it. Jesus is. If you look at everything that's been accomplished, Jesus accomplished that before a human accomplished that. So we're not the first to what? Do it. But here's the great news. We're not alone. How many of y'all get a little more sad? You become sad when you think you're the only one that's ever gone through it. Y'all ever met people like that? Well, woe is me. My wife has left him. Some of y'all need to listen to country music. If you listen to country music, ever other song, somebody's wife has left them. And the train went backwards and the whiskey flowed, okay? You know? Part of life. Somebody leaves. That can be a cause of us being shaken from the joy that we really have. But you know what? People come back. I mean, I'm glad to know people come back. But here's the deal. God never leaves. Now, therefore, since we are surrounded by what? A great cloud of what? Witnesses. I told you we're not alone. Now, that's the first part of joy. We're not alone. We're not what? I'm going to tell you, this is an absolute fallacy for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to say that they're alone. That's not true. Now, this might be true. I feel lonely. Well, that's true. But the fact is, you're not alone. You can feel all you want to feel, but you're not alone. The truth is, I want to give you some great joy today. The truth is, a person who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life can never be alone. That's amazing. But yet, I love all you all, and I work with people, and they come in, and they say, I'm alone. I said, not true. You feel lonely. True. But the truth is, we can never be alone. And not only can we never be alone, we're dragging a big family behind us. How many of y'all know we got a big family? Moses in the family, Abraham in the family. Rahab in the family, shepherds in the family, wise men in the family, prophets in the family, miracle workers in the family, rich folk in the family, poor folk in the family. We got a big family. It's called the kingdom of what? God. How many of y'all realize we're going to meet all those folks one day? We'll meet Elijah. Elijah, what was it like to just be... Elijah's the only real Star Trek guy out there. He just whoop. You know, what was that like? I'm going to ask him. I probably won't even ask him when I get up there, because I'll probably be able to go whoop. Wouldn't it be cool when we get to heaven if we get to fly? That's what I'm going to do the first 1,000 years, just fly around, see everybody. Some of y'all be spying on each other all the time. Y'all think that's great. But guess what? We're surrounded by people that have already made it. Isn't that right, Pastor Mark? Mark, you're not the first guy to manage a church. Aren't you glad? God is. Jim, we didn't nail the first nails in a church building. Guess who did? Jesus. See, Jesus before us, the before us, now don't leave this Christmas, the before us makes the now possible. The before us makes the what? Now possible. How many of y'all been a part of making the now possible for somebody else? Brooks, every one of you. Brooke, you made the now possible. What do you think about that? Here you are, you drug in the church this morning on a cold Sunday morning, and you didn't realize you was packing all that, did you? Because you know what? Every dime you gave to that building, guess what? There's going to be kids blessed by that building long after you're gone. They'll be talking about some guy around here that was an Auburn fan. And they go, who was that guy? Crazy as he could be. Still worked out when he was 90 years old. Oh, that's Brooks Wright. I remember what he did. Now, this ought to give you great joy. I love living like this. I hope you do too. What we do now is going to bless somebody later. That ought to be the heartbeat of Hillview. We are, watch this. A great cloud of witnesses have joined us. Okay, they really do. I believe that. Now, Kevin, I'm into these witnesses. And I didn't know, you know where I discovered the witnesses? George, guess where I discovered the witnesses? Of all places where I learned Hebrews 12:1, that was about, man, it's been 12 years in Brooklyn, New York, in a Catholic, charismatic, Caribbean service. Y'all ever been to one of those? Me either, till then. So I walk into Brooklyn, New York, and I don't know if you all realize this, if you've ever been down in Brooklyn, nobody looks like me down there. Well, I sat in the service, and that doesn't bother me because nobody reacts like me. And I sat in the middle of the service, and I was the only one that looked like me in the service. They were from the Caribbean. And the first thing that they did in this worship service that I thought was incredible, they welcomed the ancestors of faith. Because I had to lean over and I go, what are they doing? They said, welcoming the ancestors. And I thought, oh no, I'm into a service I shouldn't be in. You know, I didn't know if we was going to bring totem poles out next or something. You know, I'm getting a little nervous. And I said, so I leaned over and I said, what do you mean welcoming the ancestors? This girl goes, you're not from here, are you? I said, what gave it away? Accent. She said, no, we welcome all of those who've gone before us. Moses, Abraham, Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, that we're all in this together. I said, Freddie, these Caribbean folk understand it better than me. Now, J.D., that's a lot different worship service when you got Moses in attendance. Huh? And Paul in attendance. And Peter in attendance. And David. All of a sudden, I'm not alone. And boy, let me tell you what it does. It cuts the complaint department. You who lead and manage, go complain to Moses about management problems. Mark complained to Moses about a short budget. There he is 40 days out in the desert, and what happens to poor Moses? The people start having occupy the desert. And they're madder than hornets. And they say, Moses, it was better in Egypt under slavery than out here in the desert cooking with God. We don't have any food. We don't have this. We need that. What are you going to do? Now, Moses, luckily, he didn't have to see the Senate or the House of Representatives. He just went to the Father who created it all. He said, God, I don't know if you came, you know, took us out here to starve us or whatever, but you made a promise to us. And right now this is kind of, Chase, this isn't accurate Hebrew. This is paraphrased Hebrew. He said, the folk are upset. And God said, well, let me tell you what, Moses, you tell them in the morning, I'm going to send some cornflakes. And in the evening, I'm going to send some fried quail. Because everybody knows if you get cornflakes in the morning and fried chicken at night, you happy. True? Y'all try that diet this week and see if you aren't more joyous than you are right now. Y'all ever seen anybody get happy about Brussels sprouts? Never. You have never seen a human being go, oh man, this is some of the best looking Brussels sprouts I've ever seen in my life. And I like Brussels sprouts. You get Tony the Tiger out and see, even old men get excited about that. It's if God made the provision. Here's where we got to get the joy of the Lord is my strength. We got to understand that God will come through. And I write Betty Lois. God will come through. Betty Lois, you and David are still living a marvelous journey. That's the good news. Have you ever seen God let you down one time? Not one time. Not one time. I've never had God let me down. How many of y'all have ever had God let you down? I haven't had God let me down one time. Some of you are going, well, it's felt like it. Joy is not a what? Go ahead and tell your neighbor that just in case they didn't hear it, because the devil will be over here putting earmuffs on you today. Come on, joy's not a feeling. Nathan, joy's not a what? It's not a tingly. It's a strength that says, you know what? Wait a minute, there is a God, and I'm going to get through. Now, how many of y'all need to release your joy a little bit? Have I told you scripturally you've received joy? It is in you. Joy is where? In you. Now, here's what the devil does. The devil says, you don't have joy in you. It's where? Here's some places the devil likes to plant joy. Hear me, this is Satan. Here's what he does. He says, joy's out there. See, here's where we lose our joy. The devil tries to tell us that joy is somewhere else. How many of y'all can't have Christmas because you're always looking at your neighbor's Christmas? You never enjoy your lights because you live next to one of those neighbors who, I mean, sucked half a coal mine out just to light it up for 2 weeks. My brother-in-law's like that. When he turns his Christmas lights on, he lives about 5 miles from us. Our electricity surges, man, I'm telling you. He's Clark Griswold, man, I'm telling you. It snowed out there one Christmas, and the snow melted in his front yard. He had so many lights out. It was that warm. He can walk out in a pair of shorts in his front yard. That's how much electricity. Isn't it, Elizabeth? That's the truth. I'm not even making that up. I may have exaggerated some things before, but I'm not exaggerating this. In this moment, guess what? Joy is not beyond you. Isn't that the good news today? And see, a lot of us get convinced it's beyond us. If I just had this or did this or was with this or had this kind of environment, I'd finally be joyful. But no, Jesus says, let me forgive you. Let me love you. Let me reposition you and let me come into you. Joy lives in us. Now, when it gets in us, we need to get rid of some things that are holding us down. How many of y'all got some things that are holding you down? Here's the number one thing I find will kill your joy. Your attitude versus God's reality.
Amen.
Now follow me. Y'all are listening great this morning. When we create our own reality, we will always shortchange ourselves. Why do we need to pray? I need to pray constantly, not because God needs my help, but because I need his reality. Now, I really understand this. This year, I really understand it better than I've ever understood it in my whole life. You know why? I read fuzzy now. Any of y'all read fuzzy? If you live long enough, you'll read fuzzy eventually. And this just happened all at once. In fact, it happened right here. One day I looked down at my Bible, and not only was I speaking in tongues, I was reading in tongues. I mean, it just looked like all over the page. And I said, Lord, you've given me the gift of reading in tongues. And then I realized, JD, I realized my perspective was fading. I realized how I'd really been all my life. I can't see clearly. I mean, I don't want to break into a song here now, but you know what I mean. But check this out. God provided. Hold on. A clear what? See, I see y'all fine. I kind of have to, look, they'll sit down here like this, and guess what I know? I better start living everything I need to live, because once your glasses go down on your nose, that's like the 2-minute warning. I was with Blake yesterday, and we had to take a test. Blake was sitting in front of me. So I smack him upside the head, and I said, hey, I forgot my glasses. He goes, I don't have any. I said, what am I going to do? He said, I guess you're going to fail. You know what I had to do? I had to borrow. I mean, how embarrassing is this? You're sitting there. I mean, we're doing some training with guns and stuff like that. So you're supposed to be tough. You know what I mean? Tough. I lean over at the guy next to me. I said, you look old. You got any glasses in that bag of yours over there? He knew me. He said, yeah, I got an extra pair. I said, you a smart man. Now, hold on. How many of y'all carry an extra pair of your perspective to show somebody else? Isn't that really our witness? Try my Jesus glasses on. See what I'm saying? Our job is to say, look what Jesus could be in you. That's really witness. And one of the ways we do that is living a great joy. You know, I mean, this blows me away. Now, y'all don't start acting up as soon as I say this. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but with you guys. We're a cloud of witnesses together. Now, sometimes a messy cloud. I love to go eat. I can go to any restaurant and tell where you all are sitting. It's the loudest group in the restaurant. In fact, you know what the town calls us? On Sunday afternoons, they'll go, here come the Hillview people. Like it's a whole special group. John, that's true. You're in the restaurant business. When you used to work out at Outback, could you always tell where the Hillview people were? It's a great noise, but you know what? Most of the time, it's a joyful noise. It's people laughing. It's people loving life. There's a lot of humor to it. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of hope. We've been with God that day. We've been with each other that day. First of all, I want you to know this. You're not alone. Secondly, get rid of what's holding you back. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Yes. Oh, Hillview, if we could take the next 3 weeks and we just threw off everything that hindered, what would 2012 look like? What would this moment look like? The time I hear that scripture, I see them old football boys out there in the summertime when it's summer practice and they're lined up. And we get down to about sprint number 15, and guess what they start asking?
Are we done yet?
Well, they do ask what we're done yet, but they know better than ask that. Guess what they want to do when it gets hot? Don't you remember, man? What'd you do when you was out there? What'd you start asking? You ask when it's over. That's because you're a quarterback. And then what? Can I take my pads off? Can I take my pads off? You know what my response is? You going to play with them off? You think it's not going to be hot the first game? You think you're going to be able out there as you come around the corner with the ball, say, excuse me a minute, don't tackle me yet. I got to take my shoulder pads off so I can make it on into the goal. But you know what? I watch them take it off, and guess what? When they take them old shoulder pads off and they take that helmet off, what are they doing? They're taking off that is hindering them, causing them to be hotter than they need to be. Now, how many of y'all got some things? Guess what? Instead of receiving some things this Christmas, how many of y'all need to take some things out this Christmas? I'm not going to tell you what those are, because guess what? You already know what they are. You already know what hinders you. But here's what I'm saying. Just in the name of Jesus, guess what? This would be a great year to finally get rid of it. How many of y'all found some old Christian Christmas decorations that needed to go? Or how many of y'all keep every one of them? If you want to get rid of them, just call Mark Hale. He'd be glad to pick them up. Mark, he's collecting now Christmas lights before they were electricity. They're called candles. Mark brought in a candle the other day. You know what this was? It was a Christmas light back in 1802. I said, really? It looks old to me. It looks done to me. Mark and I have a good time, don't we? Mark shows me things. He brought a painting in the other day. It's an old painting. He goes, what do you think that is? I said, it's two old people looking at each other on a painting. He said, that's valuable. I said, I hope so, because it sure is ugly. I've never been real good at art. You know what I mean? It's great to have differences, isn't it? Yeah. I want to go to the Harley store, and Mark wants to go to a museum. And we love each other deeply in who? In Jesus. What do you need to let go that's hindering you? Because now, watch, we're not alone. And we need to get rid of that that is blocking what is in us. Our perspective will always leave us short. Because let me show you what God did. And the sin that so easily entangles. How many of y'all just get entangled in the same old thing? Yeah, don't get tangled this Christmas. Listen, the same man and uncle or whoever in your family, I go over this every year because we got it every year, that is going to pick a fight with you, is going to pick a fight with you again this year. Randall, do not respond. True? How many of y'all do that? I'm just not going to respond. But if I do respond to any, I got to respond with what? Joy. You ought to walk in Christmas better this year. You got a new knee. I'm not going to respond. Watch this. Here's what joy does. I'm not going to respond like the devil wants me to. I'm going to respond like Jesus has made me to. Isn't that when joy comes in life? Wait a minute. I'm going to operate like I'm made and not by what I see. Does that bring some joy? How many of y'all need to bring some joy into your family's reality? Yeah. Throw off that sin. It easily entangles. What does sin do? It entangles. Now listen, how many of y'all are so tangled up about the season you can't experience it? Amen. Ladies, I love you, but listen, y'all get so hepped up on making it look right that it can never be right. Amen. Y'all ever been in that house where, you know, some flower didn't bend exactly right and everybody's mad over a flower and misses the whole? Kim, I see this in weddings all the time, especially mothers of the bride. God bless them. I go, do you see the flower on the third window? No. Do I look like a guy that walks into a room and goes, flowers? No. But she saw it and focused on it and missed her joy. Now, how many of y'all are focused on some things and you're missing your joy? Listen, this is a great life to live. Live it. Get untangled. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for what? Us. The race has already been marked out for us. You know why? Jesus has already done it. Now let's wrap this thing up. Did y'all get something this morning? How many of y'all going to go live it? How many of y'all going to go take it to the Titans game? Those of y'all going to the Titans game, y'all ought to walk in, 68,000 people, they ought to go, there's somebody full of joy. If they win today, there'll be people full of what? Happiness. Beer. Yeah. Oh, y'all got me losing it. Oh, I can't breathe. I got a cold and we got people full of beer. Hold on. There will be a lot of people full of beer. Why? Huh? What does beer do? Not that any of y'all have ever drank anything, but what does beer do? No, it doesn't make us happy. Elizabeth has told me about this. And she said, it makes you tingly. Now, hold on. Apparently, this is pretty popular. Beer sales outnumber Bible sales. Because the world wants to feel what? Tingly. Now, hold on. Let me show you where we are. Now, this is going to disgust you. We would rather be tingled for a moment then internally changed. Permanently connected. Now here's where it's messed us up. Jesus didn't come to bring us the tingles. Y'all think that's funny, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches, they're tingle churches. Be careful how you say that. But I mean, on Sunday morning, they think it's been successful if everybody got tingled. And everybody walks out and says, man, that pastor's wonderful, and the songs were beautiful, and everybody feels good, and everybody welcomed me, and I felt good, and I got what I needed. Anytime you're dealing with somebody and all they talk about is what they need, what they think, and what they feel, you're with a very, if they are a believer, you're with a very shallow, young, immature believer. Because whose perspective are they living in?
Theirs.
And they'll have very little joy. They'll get mad very easy. I'm teaching you how to discern. Now, if you want to find strength, Dr. Ward, you want to find strength, look what happens. Run with perseverance. That means don't give up when everybody's giving up. True? How many of y'all have learned somewhere in life that lesson? Don't give up where everybody else is giving up. Live out this race. Well, you say, how does the joy come? It comes in verse 12 too. Let us. Who? Does that mean anybody's left out?
Nope.
It didn't say let some. It said what? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our what? That word author can also be translated founder, beginning, creator. The creator and the finisher. The author, the perfecter, the introduction and the conclusion, the alpha and the what? It says, fix our eyes on him who for the joy, the what?
Joy.
Set before him. Oh, I'm going to stop there today. How many of y'all realize you got a joy set before you? Now go do what? Step into it. Because you know what he did? He endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he sits at the moment. But Timmy, guess what he's going to do? He's going to stand up one day. And I'll still be crazy, JD, but I'll be forgiven crazy on that day. On the day that God starts returning, I hope I get to stand next to Bill Maher. I said, what are you going to say now, HBO boy? Go ahead and run one of your little cute, smart aleck remarks right now. Here he comes. Go ahead and talk about the Jews and the crazy Christians as he appears from the east. Now how smart a boy are you? Y'all really want joy? I do. I'll just be honest with my life. I've never found joy on my own. Had some happy moments. Had some tingly moments. I've only found joy in Jesus. It's a powerful strength. You know what it'll do? It'll keep you off the streets and it'll put you in the race. Why we got so many people protesting? Well, listen to this scripture. And you can see where the majority of people are in our nation. Who for the joy before him endured the cross. How much endurance do we have today in today's society? Beep. I'm not going to endure it. I'm going to blame somebody else. That's why we got so many unhappy people. You poor teachers. Y'all are teaching, supposedly, according to the parents, the smartest group of human beings that have ever lived on the face of the earth. And if they make a bad grade, it's your fault. You know why? Because we have no endurance. Scorning its shame. Instead of hearing what it's got to say, I'm going to overcome it. Jesus didn't accept the cross. He received the cross and defeated it. That's our joy. You're right, girl. That's our joy. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then he sat down. He planted grace as a possibility for anybody in this room today. The joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
How many of y'all need to get a little stronger? Well, today first I'm going to open the altar up. How many of y'all need to just come and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for forgiving my soul. I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I want to come to this altar today and say, thank you, God. How many of y'all ever say, thank you? You're alive, you're living, you're possible. Thank you, God. How many of y'all glad you get to bring a bunch of food into your house at Christmas? How many of y'all ever thank him for it? I guarantee you'd be complaining if there wasn't any there. Thank him. Now today, some of you for the first time in your life have come to the realization, wait a minute, this is more serious than I thought it was. And you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I want to receive the joy you've made. Receive it. And be made a possibility of joy. Because as Kevin and Carrie told you, parents ain't always going to be there, are they? But even when you got to say, see you later, guess what you know? I've had to say, see you later to all my grandparents, but guess what I know? I'm going to see them again. I don't know if I go first or my parents go first. My parents live healthy and I live crazy. But whoever gets there first, guess what the other one will be able to say? I'll see you. Every funeral I preach, let me tell you why there's some joy. Every funeral I preach of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Freddie, guess what I do? Y'all will see me tap the box or rub the urn or however you, whatever hotel you're going out in. I go by there and I go, you know, if it's a believer, if it's Pastor Mark one day or me one day, Mark's going to be able to come over and lean in and go, thank God it's over, but I'll see you in a little while. He won't come up like that. He'll come up like this. Don't you think one day, Mark and I laugh. Y'all ever seen that movie, Grumpy Old Men? I just want y'all to know that's me and Pastor Mark 20 years from now. Y'all, everybody just be laughing. All the young pastors be going, here they come. But you know what? The joy of the Lord will still be our strength. Because there is nothing possible in this place if Jesus didn't do exactly what he said he's going to do. And he did. Now receive it. Some of y'all going to be saved today. Some of y'all need to get baptized. If you hadn't been baptized, would you please get on that? And don't run this by me. Well, Pastor Steve, now I just believe there's a God. Well, whoopity-doo, so's the devil. Pastor Steve, I believe I have an identified force in me that helps me get better. Well, that's because you're young. And your identifiable force is going to linger. Well, you see, today I'm telling you about a Jesus that'll let you endure. It makes all things possible. And because of that, we live well. Amen. Stand with me. This altar is going to be open. There's opportunity to come and receive Christ. There's opportunity to come and be baptized. There's opportunity to come and thank God for the joy. If you're sick, if you're hurting, come and prepare for Christmas. Chase, one of the best ways people can prepare for Christmas is come pray that they have a joyful house this Christmas. Yeah? Andrew, what do you think? Jamie, what do you think? Jeb, what do you think? We come pray for a joyful, joyful experience together. Lord, move us to this altar. Those who have not received you, have not received your joy, your hope, your peace. Lord, I pray right now that they would say, Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned and I need you. Lord, Holy Spirit, please speak in the name of Jesus. Speak so clearly that your gospel draws people to salvation. Lord, we want to thank you that we've been saved. We want to thank you for the church that you're creating here. We want to thank you that we've endured. We want to thank you that things are possible. And so, Lord, bring us to the altar today. Amen. Church, it is open. Hello, it is open. I got good news today. It's open. It's open. And if you don't know Christ, you can receive him right now. If you haven't been baptized, you can receive him right now. I want you to come to the altar. Come on. Thanks for coming this morning. Thanks for not standing there this morning. Thanks for letting God have this moment. Let him have it. Let him have it.